Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's so good to see you all tonight. Amen. You know, I've said this in the past 3 years since we started this church, you know, that Saturday nights, we've had more nice Saturday nights than we ever have in the history of Saturday night's existence. Amen. And as a pastor, that's one thing, you know, we're always contending around here is the weather. When the weather gets nice, oftentimes people's faithfulness gets more and more difficult. Praise the Lord. But you all broke that curve, praise the Lord, or flatten that curve, or what are they doing nowadays with the curves? They're doing, yeah, praise God, hallelujah. I just remember when I was growing up, it was straightening the curve. It was flattening the hills, praise the Lord. And if you don't know what that means, well, praise the Lord, you can ask me afterwards. But welcome to Family Church, Corey. We got a humdinger of a service for you tonight, amen. That's because the Holy Ghost is here, Jesus is here, praise the Lord, and God is here too, amen. We showed up, so we're just believing God for his highest and best tonight, amen. And get everything that we can. You know, I was thinking as we were praying, I was thinking, and we were worshiping, and we were all chanting, amen. I was thinking about how there's some states in our precious union that have said, you know, there's no chanting allowed in churches. I'm like, you just try and stop that, amen. Praise the Lord. You can't stop that. Because what they're talking about is speaking out, people speaking out. Well, I don't know, but I wouldn't be so bold as to say that we can't praise the Lord in a public gathering. You know, they tried to do that with the disciples, and of course they said, you know, you're just going to have to throw us in jail. Do whatever you're going to have to do to us, because we're not going to stop doing what we know we're supposed to do. The Bible instructs it, and so if the Bible says to chant, I don't care what the governors say, we're going to chant. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Tonight's message is called You Follow Me, and by me, I'm not talking about me, but I'm talking about Jesus. This is actually a quote. I'm quoting Jesus from the book of John. Amen? You follow me. And we're going to be talking about following God tonight. We're going to be talking about following his plan. You know, as I have been seeking the Lord in recent times, more and more and more, the same things keep coming to me. And it's all about seeking God's plan. It's all about seeking who God is and getting to that place where the people of God are actually hungry for God again. Amen. Because at some point we've gotten away from that hunger, that desire for God, that, you know, there should be that desire in people that you couldn't keep the church closed, praise the Lord, because people are busting the doors down to get in. You know, recently I saw in New Jersey, there's a gym owner there that got just tired of the laws that said that they couldn't open. And the government there had even put chains on the door, and then they cut the chains off, and then they put plywood over. There was a video recently on some kind of social media or something, of these guys kicking in their doors to their own gym saying, we're not going to stay out anymore. You can find us. You can do whatever you want to do, but we're not going to stay out anymore. Well, there should be that same fervor to get into the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I've said this in recent times, and it's so true. I spend more times convincing people, that Christians, that God is good, and telling them that they need to be in church. Listen, there was a time in church history when you didn't have to tell people they needed to be there. They just showed up because they knew they needed it. Amen. That's just part of what church was. And so God has had me on this thing lately, and not because of any of you. I mean, you're all here. Praise the Lord. But he's had me on this lately because for the purpose of stirring the hunger in people. I love what Pastor Michael always says, you know, if you're basically along the lines of, if you're not sowing it, you can't grow it. Amen. And so why do we hammer on these things? Because we want to grow some harvest in this area. And the only way we're going to do that is by sowing the seeds of the word. Amen. And so we're going to get back into it and back into it and back into it. We're going to be stirring your hunger and getting you into that place where you desire. And if not just for you, the next person that comes through the door, praise God. We just, we have to get to that place. We have to break through that veil and get people to bring that respect and honor back to the house of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. So tonight, the sermon starts off with a question, and that is, what is your ultimate goal? Praise God. What is your ultimate goal? Your ultimate goal, if you know, right, your ultimate goal is to seek God. It is to find out who he is. Amen? It's to find out what he wants from us. And what his plan is for our lives. This is what every goal, or the goal of every Christian should be. seek God, find out who he is, what he wants from us, and what his plan is for our lives. Amen? His plans don't always line up with our plans or our ideas, but his plans are the most important. We have to find out what God wants for us, and then that has to be set the course of our lives. There's so many people out there that they're constantly looking for purpose in life. And the truth of the matter is the purpose is found right here in the Word of God. The purpose is found right here in his plan for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. If there is a purposeful creator, then it is our obligation to find out what our purpose is. Amen. It is not just enough to sit here and to be, well, we're Christians, we're here to serve God or whatever, but we have to know what our purpose is. And we have to get that purpose so driven in us that there's nothing that can take us away from that course. Our purpose with God, individually, it doesn't matter who you're connected to, it matters what your purpose is with God. That's the first place you start. Later on, who you're connected to does matter. Obviously, later on, the who you're connected to is going to factor into that purpose. But the purpose supersedes all relationships. It supersedes all placement, all geographical locations. Praise the Lord. Everything that God has for us, his purpose for us, supersedes everything else. And it should. If it doesn't, then we're off in the balance. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So it is our obligation to find out what our purpose is. Autonomous machines don't question their purpose. You know what an autonomous machine is? An autonomous machine, sometimes they call them like automatons. Am I saying that somewhat right? Autonomous machine. I've seen them before where they make, and they do a purpose. It's kind of, or they have a certain purpose and it's ingrained in them. They can't do anything else. Amen. And one of the things you think about kind of an autonomous machine would be like one of the old player pianos. Have you ever seen one of those? If you've ever seen one of those working, it's kind of neat. But they have mechanisms and gears in them, and they have certain paper that runs through them with certain holes. Amen. Actually, kind of a record player is that too. Because the grooves in the record make the needle do certain things that make certain sounds, and it's going to sound the same. Well, the player piano is the same thing. It's always going to do the same thing as long as nothing's broken. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so autonomous machines don't question their purpose. But God didn't make us to be autonomous. Praise the Lord. He made us in such a way that we would question our purpose, that we're constantly seeking to adjust if necessary. You know, one thing about, again, if you have the grooves of a record, if you went in there and took a sharp knife or a scalpel and you started carving into that record, as that record goes, even though that record's spinning and even though it has a set track that it's going to go on, as soon as it reaches that new groove, it's going to go in a different direction. Amen. And so if it will still be autonomous, but it's going to go in a new direction, and that direction isn't right. We need to question our directions, and I'll tell you honestly, as a pastor, I question my direction all the time. I question what we've been doing all the time, how we have church services all the time. You know, this coronavirus made me question, are we doing things the way we need to? Are we doing, all the programs, and they say, well, we don't have programs in the family churches. We don't really, but we do. Amen. You know, somebody asked me recently about nurseries. Are we going to have nurseries again? I don't know. Praise the Lord. If we need them, I guess we'll probably have them again, but we've been doing fine without them. You know, we've been doing fine without some other thing. Now there's some things we'll get back into. But my point is I'm always questioning what we're doing and why we're doing it. Is it right? And I'm questioning what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Is it right? Is it what God has for me? And does it line up with the purpose that he set forth in my life? If it doesn't, then I have to I have to make adjustments. Amen. Praise the Lord. Often lives are out of whack because people are obsessed with the wrong thing. As a pastor, I can tell you that this is by far the greatest problem with people who have problems. Their lives are obsessed, or they're looking in the wrong direction. The reason that people don't connect the way they should to the things God is doing is because they're off. They're out of whack. They're looking at something that isn't right. Amen. We see this in relationships. We see this in financial decisions. We see this in places where people live. It doesn't matter. If things are out of whack, it causes it all to be off. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's often because people are obsessed with the wrong things. We have to be people that aren't obsessed with the wrong things. You know, I don't always have these extra notes when I preach a sermon. But when I do have them, I get excited about it because it means it's God, that the Lord wanted me to say something. Amen. And so when God wants me to say something, it means that we need to pay attention to it and say, okay, like this isn't just something Pastor Jeff is coming up with on the fly. Amen. Glory to God. Not that that would necessarily be wrong either. But we follow the Spirit. But what my point is sometimes God is emphasizing things so we understand them. Amen. So we get them. You know, every one thing that I've learned in life is that the answer to a million and one questions is very simple. Any problem that people can have, most of the time, it's not a hard decision. It's not a hard thing to figure out. You just got to know the right thing to choose. Amen. Glory to God. Well, you want the Word, so we're going to get into the Word. Turn with me to Romans 12:2. But Pastor Jeff, you go to this scripture a lot. I was thinking that as the Lord was delivering. I was like, Lord, you have me go to this scripture a lot. But you know, the thing is that we haven't got to the fullness of the scripture yet. We haven't got this so into us. Amen. How do I know this? Because I look at the lives of people and I see the opposite of this. And when I look at the lives of the people and see the opposite of this, it tells me that people aren't getting connected to the scripture. Amen. And sometimes I look at my own life and I say, I haven't got connected to the scripture enough. Amen. And so God brings us back here, but I love the scripture. Praise the Lord. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to the customs, fashioned after the customs of this world. Amen. I think one version says something similar to that, maybe the Amplified version. But we are not to conform our lives to the customs of this world. In other words, if you watch how the world does things, you can pretty much guarantee that isn't right. Amen. And so the more your life is conformed and looks like the world looks, the thing that you can be pretty sure of is that it isn't right, so you won't be right. Now, you can be slightly off. You can be off. Sometimes there's been people that have been off a lot and will still make it to heaven. Amen. But, you know, the scripture isn't about living in heaven. The scripture that we're given, the Bible, isn't for us in heaven. Now, it'll be in heaven. This scripture will be in heaven. God isn't, not one word will pass away from this. Amen? This word is eternal. It will be written in heaven. In fact, we'll get the fullness of it. But this word is not given to us for heaven. This word is given to us for here. Amen. It's to help us here in our daily lives. You know what's interesting about this? We can go to scriptures often and like this. This is a scripture. I could literally go to this scripture every single week and never do anybody that sit in any of my churches a disservice by doing so. Amen. We could preach the same scripture every single week. Glory to God. Because this is in part, of course, is our instruction for what we're to do here. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed, be metamorphosized. Amen. If we think about when I was a kid, we won't think about when I was a kid, but I can think about when I was a kid. When I was a kid, we would look at caterpillars, amen? And they would go into a cocoon, right? And when they came out of the cocoon, they would be transformed or metamorphosized. That's the same word. That's what this word means here, amen? And so when that caterpillar came out, it was a beautiful butterfly. Hallelujah. You know, if you've ever seen Bug's Life, then... And if you haven't, well, praise the Lord, then just forget about it. But it was a beautiful butterfly when it comes out, completely different than the hairy worm that went into it. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. When you come into the faith, you are a hairy worm. Amen? That's the best way to think about it. It's the best way. And it's new to me tonight, but you can say that Pastor Jeff called it to you first. Amen? You are a hairy worm when you go in. But you are meant to be wrapped up. Praise the Lord. This is what, you know, when that caterpillar goes into the chrysalis, is that what they call it? Praise the Lord. And they're in the cocoon and they're starting to change. That becomes their abode, right? Yeah. What does John 8:31, 32 tell us? That we are to abide in his word. And so what we are to do is we are to envelop ourselves or wrap ourselves up in God's word, abide in his word, and allow his word to change us. Now, do not send me any text messages later on in the week of you with Bible pages taped around your body, because that's not what it's talking about. Not using I got my grandma made me a quilt that was printed with Bible, Bible verses and stuff like that. That's not what we're talking about, amen? We are to wrap our lives up in the Word of God. And whenever our lives don't match up with the Word of God, we change the Word of God. No, we change our lives. We have to do something different in us. We have to allow it ourselves to be transformed into something new. Otherwise, things don't ever change. In fact, I can point to you. I could use names right now of people that you know, praise the Lord, that have been with us and have gone on and on and on, and you've seen no change in their lives. And the reason you have seen no change is because they've never allowed the word to transform them. What they do is they allow themselves to constantly go back to Egypt, go back to the things of the world, and it's not God's fault. It's not our fault. It doesn't make me a bad pastor because someone in my congregation doesn't want to listen. It makes them a bad congregation member. Amen. We have to allow the word to change us. Amen. Now the word is going to change us, and not all change is always enjoyable. Amen. Praise the Lord. When a butterfly comes out of that cocoon for the first time, they have to start moving their wings because there's weakness there. They're not strong enough to fly. But there's something in them that's ingrained in them that they know that if they keep doing that, that they'll be able to flit around and do what they're supposed to do. Well, the same thing should be for Christians. God wants you to be able to move around much. And have you ever seen a caterpillar move? I don't know why we get on all this, but it's good. Have you ever seen a caterpillar move? Or a hairy worm move compared to a moth or a butterfly? It's a lot slower, isn't it? It seems a lot more laborious, doesn't it? They just take, I always think about the inchworm. I love watching inchworms, but they literally inch along. It's just like, and it's just like that. You could actually put that sound to them as they're going, and it would make perfect sense. And you all laugh because you know. You see it, and that's the way we are going through life. But when we get the Word of God infused into us, when we get metamorphosized, when we change, when we get transformed into the things of God, hallelujah, it's no longer, it's just flapping around and flying around, floating around on the breeze, all happy. Have you ever seen a butterfly that doesn't look happy? I mean, you can't even see their mouths, but they look happy. Why? Just the way that they move. Praise God. Hallelujah. But not so for caterpillars or worms or anything else. Amen. So we need to be transformed. People so often spend their lives seeking purpose, and yet he waits to reveal it to those who want to hear it. Let me say this again. People are so often, in every human, it is ingrained in them. It has been built into you. It is inherent to your being to find out what your purpose is. And in so many people spend their entire lives seeking what purpose is. Amen? You should not spend your life seeking what purpose is. It doesn't take that long to find out what purpose is. And this is the wonderful thing about the Word of God, because it doesn't matter if you're 2 or 202. If you're still breathing, if you're drawing breath, you can still operate according to your purpose. The purpose that God has determined in your life, because he still has a plan for you. Now that plan does change. That plan has to have some adaptation to it. And the reason is because not everybody listens right away. I didn't start listening till my late 20s. So there was a lot of purpose in between when I was supposed to start my purpose and when I actually did start getting into my purpose, praise the Lord. There was a lot of time in there that was lost. And so God had to alter plans and change plans. And sometimes that's true. But if you are faithful to seek him, he will show you, and it's not hard. You know, recently, was it last week? I think I preached here about seeking and knocking. Glory to God. And how we, you know, when we, what those scriptures are really talking about are not talking about seeking God for stuff. It's not talking about knocking to get your prayers answered. It's about going to God to find out what your direction is, to find out what your purpose is. And he says he answers those. He gives us the Holy Spirit, who is our guide, who directs us into all things that belong to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we don't need to be people that flit around looking for purpose. We can find it very quickly right here in the Word of God. Amen. So we're going to, whenever I think of purpose, it seems like I always get drawn back to the very beginning of the Bible, into Genesis. So we're going to turn back to Genesis 1. Amen. Genesis 1, 26. And whenever I think about purpose, like I said, I always get brought back to here, because this is the thing that we know about this book. This book is complete for what we need. Amen? Yeah. I said this book is complete for what we need. Amen? And so what we're going to do by going back to Genesis, so if you don't know your purpose, amen, if you have a hard time figuring out what it is you're supposed to do, you always do, the easiest thing to do is always go back to the beginning. You know, I heard a minister say once, I don't even remember who it was now, but I heard a minister say once that if you get off in your life, go back to the last place that God spoke to you and start there. Amen. So even if you're confused, even if you've gotten way off course, you're like, man, I don't even know where I'm at anymore. You go back to the last thing that you remember God speaking to your heart. And if that thing is salvation, well, praise God, that's a good place to start. Go back to salvation. Salvation will point you here. Amen? So we go back to Genesis, because Genesis tells us what the purpose, or what purposes God had with humanity. Now, this is something that I think is often overlooked when we look at these scriptures, or when people look at these scriptures in general. When religion looks at these scriptures, they think, well, this is just the beginning of all creation, of all time. Well, that's not exactly true. This Bible was never meant to cover all of history that has ever existed. It was not meant to do so. And people who look at it as such are looking at it in error. This is about God's relationship to humankind. Amen. And so for as long as we've been here, but there was things long before us, praise the Lord, and there will be something long after we're here. Amen. We don't know exactly what all that looks like, but there was. This wasn't the beginning of everything. When you read Genesis 1:1, when it says in the beginning, praise the Lord, this isn't the beginning of everything. Some people like to think so. I'm not going to even go down the road of starting to tell you, because you just like start stoning me right now. Praise the Lord. But we have to see the truth that's in here. Amen. So, okay, so let's start here, Genesis 1, 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. And notice it says this a couple times, and now it says it again. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves, praise the Lord, on the earth. Is that where we're going to stop? No, we're going to go to verse 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Amen. And so here we start seeing God's, we actually can see the fullness of God's purpose in mankind right here. And we're going to break this down into, I'm going to break this down into kind of two parts, amen? Two parts in these scriptures. The first part, or part A, as I've called it here in my notes, is purpose in creation. Glory to God. So purpose in creation. Number one, we are made in his image and his likeness. Oh, there is a lot to that. Amen. We are made in his image and his likeness. Glory to God. In other words, God made us to be like him. We can't get away from this fact. There's a lot of people that struggle with what I'm saying, but God created us to be like him, and not just in looks. Praise the Lord. God doesn't just look like this. Hopefully not, right? Hopefully God looks different than I do. But we understand that if we see the physical, if we saw the physical nature of God, I guess, if you want to call it that, he would have two arms and 20 fingers, you know, and 14 toes. We're just seeing if you're paying attention. Praise the Lord. No, he would have two arms and two legs and 10 fingers and 10 toes. Praise the Lord. He would have parts that look very similar to us. Glory to God. Because we understand that that's part of it. But we also know that we were made in his likeness or his class of being. And so God has put things in us for a very specific purpose. Amen. Glory to God. And another thing that we see in these scriptures, let's see, back here in verse 26, is when he says, let them have dominion. And so we see that he has made us to be dominant. Yeah. Amen. Now, the dominance that it talks about here is dominance over every living creature, or everything that moves upon the earth. Amen. Yeah. This is important. Glory to God. This is important for us to understand. This is also, and the Lord was showing me this, and never really saw it this way, but this is why people who believe in evolution, it's a dangerous thing to believe in. Yeah. And I'll tell you why, because evolution makes us believe that we're just like everything else. We crawled out of the primordial soup and became whatever we became through a process of evolution over time of just mistakes or whatever. We are no different than a chicken. We are no different than a mouse. We are no different than a deer. We're no different. What is that? What is that? That is Satan's attack on your mind, or on humans' minds, to get them to think that we're not who God made us to be. And see, when he does that, he says, oh, there's no dominance. Because if you are no different, if you are no different than a bear or a chicken or whatever, a dog, then you have no place to be dominant. But God says, no, as a matter of fact, you must dominate. God has created us to dominate. In fact, it's so much ingrained in us that we just automatically do it. Even those who try to be, a little bit flaky and stuff like that, and they get into extreme environmentalism and stuff like that. I mean, I'm all good with taking care of the earth. We should do that. Praise the Lord. We shouldn't just, waste things and stuff like that. I believe in all that, but I believe that there's balance to it. I believe that there's balance that both Christians and non-Christians have gotten off in. In fact, let me give you one. One of these things is the changing weather patterns. People don't want to believe in that. Christians, a lot of times, don't believe in that. Praise the Lord. But there is changing weather patterns. You cannot get away from that. Now, there's always been changing weather patterns. Things have been a little bit crazier of late. But the Bible tells us that. And so we understand. Actually, the Bible even says, talks about, I remember Reverend Greer pointing out this, that the Bible says, he said he found proof to global warming. Praise God. He said, where is that? He said, well, the Bible says, and he took us to the scripture. I don't even look it up. I don't remember what it is offhand. But it says hell is expanding itself. We know hell is in the bowels of the earth. Or it's in the center of the earth. And so if hell, which is a place that's on fire, is expanding itself, guess what it's going to do to the whole earth? Well, it makes perfect sense, amen? So I don't necessarily think that it's all the things they think it is, but there is truth to taking care of things, amen? And so as Christians, we can't be foolish either and say it doesn't matter. We just pollute the streams and the lakes and say, no, we don't want to do that either, amen? Well, glory to God. So we have to recognize our dominance. That is important, amen? This is really our first step in trust towards God. When we understand that he has made us dominate, this is our first step in actually trusting what God says in his word. Amen. If we don't get to this step, we're never going to fully trust God. Amen. It says, have dominion over all living things. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are to have dominion. We are to usurp our authority, so to speak. Amen. Glory to God. When it says have dominion, what it literally means, the word have, I actually circled these two words, have dominion, in my Bible. I like to get into it, to look up certain words. I believe the Lord directs me along this line to get more of a full meaning of it. Amen. And the word have is a word that the Holy Spirit highlighted to me. And you think, why would you look up the word have? Because I wanted to know what it means. Amen. And this is what I saw here. It says, let them possess. That's what have. So when it says have dominance, it means let them possess dominance. Now, why would that matter so much? See, sometimes just the wording of things can make us look at it a little bit differently. When it says, let them possess, that is a command for you to do something. In other words, it means that if you're commanded to possess something, it means you can let go of that possession. Amen? That's exactly what the things like evolution has done, teaching evolution, is let people let go of, or let go of their possession of that dominance. And that is against God's will. So we see that here. So that's the first part, okay? Now the second part that I want to go to, or part B, is he blessed us. Praise the Lord. And where does it say that? It says in verse 28, then God blessed them. And I wrote this down because God kind of likened it to this. He made us ambassadors. Hallelujah. So God gave us dominance. He put us on this earth and he made us ambassadors. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody who represents generally like a country or something like that. Ambassador is somebody who represents it, and they have a lot of power and authority given to them from that, which would be the same as blessing. Amen. They're blessed to be able to do what they're called to do. And so the second thing that we have to understand is when God blessed us, what he's literally saying here is, I have set you someplace, I've put you there, and I have equipped you to be what you are called to be. I have equipped you to do what you are called to do, and I will always ensure that that is there. Amen? As long as you are an ambassador, you always have that right. You always have that authority. Now, we understand through study and through what the Bible tells us that Jesus, one of the things that he is called is the second Adam. Why is he called the second Adam? He's called the second Adam because it's referencing also the first Adam, who is right here that God is talking about. This is the one that God has blessed. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. So what that means is he is the firstborn of this new way of getting back to the old way, which God determined from the beginning of time for all of us. Amen? So what your purpose is, I know you all wanted to get there, what your purpose is first to be have dominance over all things in life, but also to be ambassadors of God on this earth. We are supposed to be doing something for the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us here, he blesses, be fruitful and multiply. Amen? In other words, be established in your role. You know, sometimes people look at being fruitful and multiply as just going out and making babies. But God wasn't just talking about making babies, because at some point, you got to stop making babies. Amen. At some point, there's just too many babies. Amen. I mean, in one household. Amen. God hasn't called us to continually do that. But the Bible says, be fruitful. That doesn't necessarily have anything to do with making babies, although you can be fruitful making babies. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's not what that's directing us towards. It's being fruitful in life, being fruitful for what you're called to do. When you've been given purpose, now you have to go satisfy that or fulfill that purpose. Amen. Glory to God. Now, we can all understand this. If we've ever gotten hired for a job, you get hired for a job to do something, and the person that hires you expects you to fulfill your commitment and do what God is, or what they've called you to do. Amen? And if you don't, you aren't getting paid. We should all take heed to what I just said. If you don't do what you're supposed to do when you work, you don't get paid. Well, the same thing, if you're supposed to be an ambassador and you're not being a good ambassador, you got to stop looking for your paycheck, because it ain't coming. Amen. God has equipped you to do what he's called you to do, not equipped you to do what you want to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is incredibly, incredibly important. And this is an area as Christians where we miss it often. And I'm saying we as including myself, because absolutely I do as well. We have to always be looking for, am I doing what's in life? It's easy to get distracted. God knows that. He is not punishing you for getting distracted. In fact, God isn't looking to punish you at all. I said, God isn't looking to punish you at all. Any good parent knows the worst part of parenting is when you have to dole out punishment. You don't want to do it. God isn't up there saying, well, how can I punish these people today? But isn't that what religion has always taught us? That God just, he's just looking to punish us. He's waiting for you to screw up. No, he didn't send Jesus because he was waiting for you to screw up, because you were already going to in that line of being punished. He sent Jesus to get your butt out of trouble. Amen. He sent Jesus to be able to break the chains, to loosen the open the prison doors. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So we're told be fruitful and multiply, or be established in our role. Filling the earth was not just about making the babies. Amen. Glory to God. Make the earth full of God-like dominance. This is what God has called us to. So if you are a Christian and you're wondering what your purpose is, you go back to Genesis and you find out that we are to fill the earth with God-like dominance. Now, when we see this, be fruitful and multiply, when we say it's just about having babies, because that's how people teach that. That is not what man has been called to do. That is an act of something that man can do, but it is not what man is called to do. In fact, we understand this, that the making of babies, he's left solely up to us. Praise the Lord. I said the making of babies, he's left solely up to us. See, religion's got it all screwy and backwards. They think, well, how many babies do you want me to have, God? Well, you're going to have as many babies as you keep making. Because there's a process that's involved, and that process has been given to man. It is not determined by God. Amen. When he says be fruitful and multiply, he's talking about being dominating, be the one that you're supposed to be ambassadors for me, and go out and make other disciples. Isn't that what Jesus has called us to make disciples of men? Praise the Lord. I'm not going to get to where I need to go tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to fill the earth with God-like dominance. We are told here also to subdue it, or bring it into subjection. The earth today is under the wrong authority. The United States today is under the wrong authority. And I am not talking about the president or the governors or those who are in office. The authority is supposed to be in the church. The church is supposed to have the authority, but the church doesn't take its authority any longer. Why? Because Christians are so distracted by everything that's going on, by everything around them, that they forget God has placed you where you're at to usurp your authority, to show your dominance, to be an ambassador of him right where you are at. All the time, I go before the Lord and say, God, why didn't you call me to the Bahamas? Or why didn't you call me to Hawaii or some other nice place? Or why didn't you call me to a place where there's a lot of conservatism, where it's real easy and everybody agrees with me? God, why didn't you call me there? And you know what his response was? Because I didn't need you there. I need you over here. They already got enough of that there. Praise God. Well, we've gone into places that are more like in lines of thinking, like, we're like, this is easy. This is where we want to live. Get us a house here. We feel called here. See, but people do that all the time. See, it's always easy to think about what just, when you just think about your tastes or your desires. But you, God's purpose in you doesn't really consider your desires. It doesn't really consider your tastes. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that God wants you miserable. That's not what we're saying. But God says that your focus has to change. You have to not be conformed to the world, but be conformed to what God is doing. You have to not be conformed, because the world just looks at what they want. This is what I want, and therefore this is what I'm going to have. This is what a lot of Christians do. This is what I want. This is what... Instead of seeking the Lord. They do this in all kinds of areas all the time. We see it over and over and over and over. People don't consider what God has for them. They only consider what they desire. This is why we say to our kids all the time. We tell our kids all the time, it doesn't matter what you want. It only matters what God has for you. So seek him. And when you seek him, he will show you the paths you need to take. But if you don't, listen, just because you're the pastor's kids, if you don't, you will be in just as much trouble as the rest of the world. You'll get to a place where you're so deceived you don't even know. And it won't be God's fault. And it won't be our fault either. Amen? And so we say the same thing as pastors. We tell people, you need to seek God. You need to seek his plan. It doesn't matter just what you want. Listen, you are always, you know, you are always going to be able to tickle the flesh, so to speak. You're always going to be able to do things that make you happy. God will ensure it. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to enjoy life. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it isn't always going to look just exactly how you think it should, because that's the world. That's not God. Amen? So here's a question that I want to ask you. Is your life dominating you? Are you dominating life, or is it dominating you? How does your life look? You know, if your life is dominating you, then something's off in the mixture, and I doubt it's the amount of God that's in you. It's probably more like the amount of God that's not in you. Amen. And what I mean by that is like, if you spend time with the Lord, if you spend time getting the word in you, if you spend time building a relationship with God, your life won't dominate you. It can't. Because sooner or later, you're going to look at things and say, wait a minute, this ain't right. We got to change it. See, this is how I make judgment calls. I've learned to make judgment calls based on the word and based on the spirit, but the spirit always in line with the word. Now, see, there's some people in our camp that make judgment calls based on the spirit. Now, listen to me. Listen to me closely. We can't just make judgment calls based on the spirit, because if you just make them based on the spirit, you're going to make them wrong, because the Bible says to test the spirits. What does that mean? It means pitted against the word. When you think you're getting something in your spirit, if you're not in the word, you're deceived. You ain't getting nothing. I said, you're not getting nothing. You can spend hours and hours and hours praying in tongues. I'm going to tell you something. Praying in tongues is not the most important thing. It is important. It is part of our life. Prayer is important. It's part of our life, but it's not the most important. The most important is knowing the word of God, because if you don't know the word of God, the spirit won't make any sense to you. You won't have any way of testing it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if you don't have a constant influx of the word in you, you will never know what God is fully trying to do in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So now we're going to go look at the Great Commission. We're going to go to Mark 16. What we call the Great Commission. Mark 16. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's at that time. Praise God. The Great Commission. Mark 16. That's the end of Mark. Mark 16, verse 14 through 18. Praise the Lord. And it says here, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Praise God. And these signs will follow those who believe. The Bible says these signs will follow those who believe. If these signs don't follow you, then you better check up on what you believe. Because the Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe. So if you don't believe, or if you don't have these signs, then you have to ask yourself, do I believe? Because if you're not having those signs, the Bible says these signs will follow. Doesn't say might follow. Doesn't say could follow. It says these signs will follow them who believe. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know that we kind of, but listen, I even look into our own churches and say, are these the signs that we see in our churches? Not just in your life, but in our churches. Are we doing these things? Are these what's coming out of our churches? Or is it a bunch of Pentecostal goofiness? Because we need to know the difference. We have to understand that it's not just about, you know, and there's different manifestations of the Spirit, of course. But if we're just having church and these signs are not following us, if we're just doing our thing and these signs, I'm not talking about all the other signs. I'm talking about these signs. Amen? Praise the Lord. It goes on to say, these signs will, in my name, they will cast out demons. Now, when it says cast out demons, I'm not saying, it doesn't say that they will say to a demon, go, and the demon never actually goes. It means they will cast out demons. So that when they cast them out, the demons go, and then there's change. Yeah. Amen? So that's one of the signs. You know, because anybody can say, get be gone in Jesus' name, but it doesn't necessarily go anywhere. Yeah. Amen? There'll be change. In my name, they will cast out demons. You can say in my name again if you wanted to. I like to use that. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. Will speak with new tongues. It's not a matter of if they will or can they. They will. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Now, when it means when it says they'll take up serpents, this isn't instructing us to go grab serpents. What it's saying that if you, it's just like if you drink anything deadly. It doesn't say go drink deadly things. That's stupid. Amen. What it's saying that is if there's things that we do as we go, we will be protected from those things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick, they will recover. Amen. And so it's not just a matter of laying hands on the sick, because lots of people can do that. But those whose hands have been laid on will recover. Now, in context, we have to remember this. This is not speaking about the church. That doesn't mean that we're going to go around laying hands on everybody in the church and the church shall recover, because the church should have the faith to recover. This is talking about in the world. We're supposed to be going out into the world, laying hands on the sick in the world, and they're supposed to recover, because it's them who are going to then see the change, the gospel, and say, oh, this God stuff, this is true. Amen. In other words, the power of God. But you want to know the truth? I don't see this in the church. I don't see these kinds of things in the church. And the reason is because people are so distracted by everything else. People are distracted. The church is distracted by their own sickness. Well, heal me, Lord, heal me. If you had enough faith, you'd just be healed. I said, and I include myself in this. Because healing was not something that was a manifestation, or was it something that was supposed to just kind of show up. The Bible says that he paid the price for our healing. And yet we don't stand on it. Now, I know what you're all thinking. We all know people, and some even recently, that have died. Does that mean that they're not, that they weren't serving God, or they don't? No, it means that they weren't taught this. And see, the problem in the church is the stuff, the truth isn't being taught. The importance isn't being put on the right things. And so we're not seeing this stuff because the people aren't going after it. Because people are distracted by self-preservation. Because what is the first thing a sickness does to you? It makes you start, I know, because I've dealt with it myself. When I'm dealing with a sickness, I'm looking inwardly. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with this major pandemic. The church should have the power to not fear it, but Christians are in as much fear as the world is, and rightfully so. And we, Pastor Jeff, why did you say rightfully so? Because the church hasn't renewed their mind. The church hasn't been after the things of God. The church has been on their own stuff for so long, they should be afraid, because there's no power to stop the sickness from killing them. That even in the church, people are dying of things that the church should never have died from. Now, all men and women are going to die at some point unless Jesus comes back. But this is not the way. God did not decide that the church needs to live sick, broken, and defeated, controlled by demons or overrun by demons. And what I'm talking about is all the demons that are out there and all the things that they do, all the things that spirits control all around us. Praise the Lord. The Great Commission, we talk about it, have talked about it for years, and yet here it is, and where's the church? But the truth is, the church doesn't believe it. He said, if you believe, this is what happens. But I even ask you today, as you sit here today, what things are you having a hard time with? What I'm saying is, I'm preaching out of the Word of God. What things am I saying are in you, and you're like, and you're battling? Because I know that battle, because I've faced and do face that same battle. But we have to stop the Word of God. Let the Word of God be true, though every man be a liar. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth. And until it's our truth, until we're conformed, until we're transformed to this, we're not being a very good representation, a very good ambassador of Jesus Christ. We are being a very poor ambassador. Until we're reaching the world. Listen, the family churches especially, and I will knock on them because this is where we're at. They're not reaching the world. They're not changing the world. We're having our church services. We're having our little things, our little group hug, basically. But we're not going out there and changing the world. And that's why we're not seeing the problem or the power. We're not seeing that's the problem to why we're not seeing the power of God. Because we're not living as the church should live. We're focused on, oh gosh, I'm believing God for a new house, or I'm believing God for a nice car, or I'm believing God for this and believing God for that. Are you believing God for all the lost and dying people out there in the world that are literally dying every single day? Are you calling for the peace and the prosperity of the towns that you live in, and stop thinking about your own stuff? Because Jesus said, you don't focus on your stuff. That's my job. You focus on my things. But the church isn't doing that anymore. The church has become all about, what can I do for me? What can I ask for me? And something has got to change. It's got to change. God has promised us, and we have to trust, because without trust, unless if you don't believe that God will take care of you without you working for it, did you hear what I said? You do not have to work for the things that God has given. You don't have to release your faith over and over and over just so you can pay your bills. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a trick of the devil to get the church of God distracted from the truth, because they're focused on things that God said I would take care of. Jesus said, if you do my work, if you follow me, if you make my work your most importance, all your stuff, I'll take care of it. He said, I'll take care of it. You won't even ask. It will just show up. That's what he's promised. And yet, why do we always revert back to this? Well, I'm just believing God to pay my bills. Christian, you're distracted. You're not being ambassador. Ambassadors, when they're in another country, if their country doesn't come to their aid when they need it, if the bills, if they came to what do you call those in the different areas? The what? Embassies. Yes, thank you. The embassies. Thank you, Lindsay. The embassies. If they came to the embassy and they're like, they flip on the lights, they're like, well, the United States didn't pay the electric bill, so we don't have electric. They'd be surprised, wouldn't they? Yeah. Why are we any different? If you can't live life and just expect that the lights will just be on, you're not even obtaining the bare minimum of what God has called you to. If praise the Lord, I am not getting through my message. If you can't even trust God, then, when I say trust God, it's not a matter of just sitting there saying, "Okay, I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord." No, when you trust, there's no question. Like, you would be surprised if you turned on the lights and they didn't come on, right? If you trusted that the lights were going to be on. When we came in here today, we expected that everything would work the way it was supposed to. In fact, the only time that we have any issues is when it doesn't. And then we went, okay, what's going on? And we have to figure out the problem. The same thing should be with Christians. If you're looking at your life and you're wondering why something isn't working, somebody didn't pay the right bill. Somebody isn't taking care of Jesus' house. Somebody isn't, because this, now, don't get me wrong, there could be a tax. We'll all have a tax. You know, not our finances are going to be attacked. But that doesn't change what you do with them. God has called you to be faithful with them. So what you do is you be faithful with your finances. God, if your health is being attacked, you don't just succumb to it. See, what Christians do, I'm going to tell you what they do with the health. They succumb to the sickness. They start putting ownership on it. Oh, I guess this is just what's supposed to happen. I guess I'm just supposed to be sick. I just can't get healed. All these things. That's not what the word says. That's completely speaking against what the word says. And then people want to pray for. You can't pray for healing if you completely reject what the Bible says about healing. You can't pray for financial blessing if you completely reject what the Bible says about it. You can't pray for peace in your household if you completely reject what the Bible says about it. Praise the Lord. Or what God says about it. If you reject the things that God is doing in your life or that he wants to do, if he has a plan for you and you say, well, I want to do my own thing, you are rejecting the word of God. You are rejecting his direction, and you cannot be blessed that way. Now, God will always get us to us as much blessing as he can. And there's a lot of people that met untimely deaths or they had situations happen that were awful in their lives that God didn't intend. But if we teach people the truth and we embrace the truth will change our lives. And I'll be so bold as to say this in closing, because I can't go much further, but I'll also be so bold to say this, that if God isn't a healer, this is a bunch of garbage. If God isn't a provider, garbage. It's not worth the paper it's written on. If God isn't, if he isn't peace, if he isn't joy, if he isn't your direction, it's all garbage. Right. This means nothing if that's the way that it is. I just happen to believe that it can't be. Amen. I am not staking my life. I am not putting everything. I'm not staking my family's life on this word to just turn around and say it ain't true. But that's also why I'm going to preach the truth and say it doesn't matter what we see or what we feel. It does not matter, because when you conform to what you feel, you are conforming to the world. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind through my word. Be transformed. You know, praise God. Does it say be transformed by praying in tongues? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which comes through the word. Now, one thing I'll tell you that the word does seem to do, at least in me, as I sit here and I ingest the word and I read the word and I seek God as I'm reading his word, the inspiration to pray in the spirit, it's just there. And it's easy. Just start doing it. It just comes out. But you got to believe it. You got to embrace it. You know what I mean? You can't reject it and say, see, this is what people do. They reject the things of the Bible. And then they say, well, I won't experience that. I knew an older gentleman, much older. I mean, really old. He's in the realm of old in one of our other churches. And I don't say that as an insult, because the man is, vibrant, living life. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, old is a good thing. If you haven't figured that out. If you don't, you need to renew your mind to the word. Old is good. I like getting older. Amen. But this older gentleman, and he was old, we were talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And he said, have you spoken in tongues? I said, yes, sir, I have. And he was excited about it. I have spoken in tongues. I do speak in tongues. He's like, wow. He was just so excited about it. And he's like, you know, he wants to receive it. But the way the Bible tells us to receive it isn't good enough for him. So he thinks that something has to come upon him in order to make it happen. And so he just rejected and still does. Now the guy, you know, bless God, he'll go to heaven. And when he finally passes, he might outlive us all, I don't know. But, praise the Lord for him. But my point is that he rejects the truth of it. As a child, you tell a child something, they just believe it. I mean, literally, you could go to a small child and tell them to do something completely stupid, and they'll go do it without thinking, just because you told them, right? That's how we're supposed to receive the word of God. That's why people don't receive, because they don't receive the truths of the word just like that child. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as a child. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Or he says, he says, let the children come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. So we have all these examples that we are to receive with childlike faith. We've always heard these things. What's childlike faith? Okay, God, Dad, you said it. It must be true. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we ain't got time to get to all the good stuff, but we got somewhere tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I believe that we at least got to some of what God has. Well, maybe we'll finish it next week. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But either way, we'll be blessed as we go if we hold on to what God is showing us and teaching us. And remember, if it challenges your theology, that's okay. That's what church is supposed to do. Challenge your theology. Because you don't get better by doing what you always did. You get better by conforming to who God is. Amen.